I invite you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one with us, or to study with us. Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to draw our attention down to verse 22. Verse 22 states, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, we again approach thy throne of grace this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for reminding us that you are there with us through every storm that comes into our life. You're there with us in the good days. You're there with us in the bad days. Lord, there are times, though, that we forget to sense your presence. And our minds and our hearts turn away from you. Lord, I pray for what we learned this day through this text, that it stands as a reminder that you're ever there to reach your hand to us, to pull us out of the depths of the sea. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual that's here. And Lord, if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son, Jesus, as Savior, Lord, there is the depths of hell that you're waiting to hear them say, Lord, will you pull me out of this debt? Guide and direct my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. In our opening text here in Matthew 14, we read that Christ had to constrain his disciples to leave and to go to the other shore. They've been there. In fact, if you were to back up in this text, this chapter, if you will, you will find that Jesus had just fed 5,000 plus. It's estimated that there were at least 10,000 there that he fed. It says 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children. And so he had just fed them. They had witnessed that time. But we also know that as Jesus was getting his disciples, the apostles, if you will, to get into their boat, if you will, it says ship, but it's a fisherman's boat of some size, that he urged them to go to the other side. They may not have wanted to actually go. They might, because he was going to be left there with all the crowd, because it said he was going to do what? Dismiss the crowd if they would go away. There are some other dynamics that's taking place as well, is that, in fact, if you look there in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 14, it says, At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. So Jesus' fame was starting to mushroom, if you will, in that region. John the Baptist had been put to death. And Jesus' fame was there. So Jesus needed to be able to get out of this area, this region, and to go to another place to minister. And there, part of also that reason was that if you read in John 6 and verse 15, you'll find that there's also this idea that because of they were seeing what Jesus was capable of doing, he was capable of healing, he was capable of feeding people. In other words, there were miracles being performed. He was also able to raise people from the dead. And those three major things that they were observing was what the priests had been teaching, that when the Messiah would come, These are the attributes, these are the things he would be able to do. And they were seeing all these things in this man, Jesus. And they were looking at him as being, many of them, the common folks, if you will, very few of the religious leaders, the priests, very few of them even considered that this Jesus was the promised one. But the people that were listening, the people that were watching, the people that heard him, the people that saw what he had done. And then you have is that there was this concern of Herod the Tetrarch that maybe this was John the Baptist that had arisen from the grave, if you will, because he had what? Well, he had been responsible for his death. All of these things going on, and then John 6 and 15 says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. In other words, is that even for his own disciples, they were maybe even getting caught up with this because the Messiah would do what? He would come and he would lead the people against the Roman oppression and free them up from the Roman oppression and make him the king. And it was not his time to be king here on earth. So Christ had to send them across the lake, the sea, if you will, the Sea of Galilee, to disperse the crowd in order to calm them down before these people made a serious mistake. Christ knew when they got into that boat that they were going to be facing a storm. Now, they had left in time that they still had some daylight to get out and to get going. But he knew that they were going to be facing a storm. And they were going to be straining to fight that storm, and he knew it. And he also knew that if he just calmed the storm, they wouldn't learn a lesson. If he just calmed the storm before they went. So there's a lot of dynamics that are going on in this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. There also we need to understand that Jesus, which it was very accustomed to him, because the Scripture says that when he sent them on the sea, he got away and he went to go pray. Jesus' ministry, and we'll talk about this further, but Jesus' ministry was enveloped in prayer. So many times you see that Jesus got along in prayer. And he went up to pray. In fact, verse 23 of our text says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. It was a part of his being. You know, we often say, yes, the Lord says that we're to pray without ceasing. But they're just words many times to us. The Lord showed and demonstrated the importance of prayer. He realized being fashioned in a man's fashioning, or you know, in a man's body, if you will. He knew, he recognized, he realized that man needs prayer. We all need prayer. And he demonstrated that. And one of the things also is that this also was to be a teaching time for his disciples. A teaching time. This morning we're going to look at the power of Christ's presence. For this reason, the disciples needed to know that the Lord was present with them at all times. Not necessarily physically, but spiritually. The Lord is always present. They needed to understand that. We need to understand that. But you know, when we really truly sense His presence and we see the power that He has, it should move us to where that we have greater dependency. How many people, dependency on Him, how many people do you know that can get up from a sleep in the middle of a dead storm and say, peace be still, and the storm stops? In fact, these men had experienced it. In fact, if you go back to chapter 8. In chapter 8 it says there, starting in verse 23, and when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Because why? He was tired. He went down in the hull, if you will, and he went to sleep. And the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Why? It's because he's the creator of the winds, the waves, and the sea. That's why they obey him. So this morning we're going to look at the power of Christ's presence. And I pray that as we do, that we will desire to realize His presence with us. Back in our text here again, straightway verse 22 and 23 again, Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship, to go before Him to the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. For when the evening was come, He was there alone. So, He demonstrated. And one of the things about Christ's presence, and it's assured by our personal preparation. How many times have you heard people make the statement, I don't feel the presence of God. I just don't sense it. I don't see it. Part of it is because we haven't prepared ourselves to realize it. And I'll say it this way. When you try to restrict God's presence to the way that you want Him to appear before you, now when I say appear before you, I'm not talking about an apparition. I'm not talking about manifesting Himself where you can see Him with your naked eye. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when He is going to manifest Himself. You say, well, all right, Pastor, if He's not going to show up right in front of me, how is He going to manifest Himself to me? I'm going to give you three areas He's going to manifest Himself. Number one, He's going to manifest Himself in His Word. He's going to reveal things to you in His Word. How is He going to reveal things into His Word? Because you're going to read it, and we have another agent called the Holy Spirit. The agency of the Holy Spirit is to help us to know the truth. You say, well, Pastor, is it just reading and letting it be revealed? No, it's not just reading. I said there were three things. The third thing is this, is the people that are around us. Oftentimes we forget that God uses people around us to help us understand His presence. When you're in a dilemma, and in fact I'll use this illustration, is that, you know, the scriptures say that when we're sick, that it's nothing wrong with calling the people together in the church to lay hands on you to do what? To pray over you. Now those people have no power in themselves to do anything. But through their prayers, through the agency of the Spirit, is that through their prayers, God does hear prayers. But you know the person that the hands are being laid on have to accept the prayers. Because otherwise, they're going to be in the same condition. Now let's say that the situation arises where people are not able to physically be in there to actually put their hands on that person that's sick. Does that mean there's no power in it? No, it's because God lays upon people's hearts to pray for that individual. Though you are not there touching them, through your prayers, through the Spirit of God, you are, in effect, touching them. Because you have focused your prayer on that individual and their need. But the individual that is in need has to be ready to receive by preparation, by, Lord, I need Your help. I don't know what the help is I need. I need to prepare myself for Your help. And if it comes through people praying in a prayer circle physically, or praying in a prayer circle that are at a distance, is that we need to realize the presence of prayer. So there needs to be some preparation. There's not only for the people that are praying, but for the person that is to receive the benefits of the prayer. Jesus demonstrated a need for preparation in order for Him to do what? He had a long journey in front of Him. Now, even though it was only 3.5 years, it was still a long journey. Because His statement was, my hour has not come yet. But He knew that what was in front of Him, the thing that was going to put Him on that cross, was His love for humanity, the love for man. But He knew that upon going on that cross, is that He was going to be carrying our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And He needed to prepare for it. He also knew that by going on that cross, His Father was going to turn His back on Him because He could not look upon sin upon His Son. When Jesus was going to die in that place. So Jesus needed to prepare Himself. It just didn't come up and say, well, God says, well, I got to prepare for this. No. He is infinite. He is all-knowing. He knew what was going to happen. But He still, because He was fashioned in the form of a man, He was going to be going there to the cross of Calvary. He knew that what it was going to mean for Him to carry the pain, the suffering, the debt of the wages of sin on Himself. So He needed to get alone in prayer. So Christ sent His disciples across the lake and dismissed the crowd, dismissed them, so that He could get alone to prayer. The people, again, were ready to acclaim Him as King, but it was not His time. So He needed to also get away to renew Himself physically. He needed to renew Himself mentally. You and I sometimes look upon Him and say, well, Jesus is God, so therefore He had all the power to just be up and ready to go every day. We forget that He was 100% man. 100% man. So He needed a time of refreshment, a time of getting away, a time of not only praying, but a time of resting. You and I have those same types of needs. You and I. A person that is not getting rest, a person that is not being fed, a person that is spiritually not being served of the Lord, meaning that they're spiritually away from the Lord, those things will bring us to a point of desperation. Will bring us to a point of destitute, if you will, if we are not preparing ourselves to realize and understand His presence. So there are times that we need to get away. Otherwise, our thoughts, our labor becomes foggy in our minds. We get tired. And I'll tell you, one of the things for myself, I know that if I haven't been fed at some regular basis, I get irritable. Myself. You probably do too. But for me, I get irritable. And if I'm irritable, I'm not thinking about things of the Lord at that moment. Because I'm what? I'm irritable. And so Jesus needed to get away, if you will, to be a part. But also the output of that, the outcome of Him having the same types of things that we go through and His needing to prepare Himself to be in God's presence, His Father's presence. He says here in His Word in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus needed to recharge. Why did He go on top of the mountain? It was to recharge. He prayed in the evening. He prayed alone. That's why the Lord tells us to get into our prayer closets. Get alone with God so we can prepare ourselves for understanding and realizing His presence. He prayed, it says, as we're looking until the fourth watch. The fourth watch would have been between 3 and 6 in the morning. They were sent out and probably they still had some daylight to get to the other side. They've been out there rowing all night long. And so He was praying. He was relaxing. And how many hours did He pray? We don't know. We know when He went into the garden to pray, when He told the disciples, stay here and pray while I'm there. It says after an hour He came back and they were sleeping. After an hour they came back, they were still sleeping. For 2 or 3 hours He was there praying. And they said, what, you cannot be awake and watch with me? They were exhausted, but He was also exhausted as well. And so He prayed for many hours. And we need to understand that our preparation, you know, we should never make a mad dash to make a decision about something that is in our life, especially of importance, without spending some time in prayer. Oftentimes we think about the fact is that, you know, this is too little for God, I'm not going to worry about it. You realize, and I'm sure this has happened in your life, one little thing that you do in your life you think is insignificant to God turns out to become a full-blown mess. Because that one little thing you did not bring to God, you did not talk to God about, you didn't ask this for His guidance, it turned out to be devastating. If you had just taken what you thought was insignificant to Him and started with Him first, then the outcome would have been much better than you not taking it to Him alone. I look at what Jesus was doing by example, showed us the real reason that we are to take every situation to Him, whether we think it's small or not. That's why in Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." But that's not just about big things. It's not about just big decisions. It's about living in Christ and through Christ. So we find is that there needed to be preparation, and Jesus showed by example there needed to be preparation. You remember when there was a time that Jesus, when He came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, three of the disciples were with Him, Peter, James, and John. They came down with Him, and what did they find the other nine doing? Well, they were being confronted by whom? They were being confronted by a man that had a son that had epilepsy. He was demon-possessed. The demon that was in him was trying to harm him greatly, trying to get him to throw himself into the fire. He was doing everything he could to kill this kid. And they had brought this man, or this child, this man had brought this child to the disciples, and they were praying, they were doing everything in their mind to try to cast out this demon. They were doing all these things that they had become comfortable with doing on other occasions, but they couldn't help this man. They couldn't help the son. And in fact, it became a confrontation. And Jesus came down and He heard what's going on. He says, "All right, what's going on here, folks?" That's my lingo, okay? What's going on here, folks? What's happening? And they said, "We have this boy over here. We can't seem to cast out the demon that's out of him." And so Jesus spoke. And you know the dialogue that went on? And Jesus ended up casting the demon out. Later on, the disciples got with Him and said, "Jesus, how did you do that? Why couldn't we do it?" They didn't really say, "How did you do it?" They just basically, "Why couldn't we do it?" Because He said there are certain things that require prayer and fasting. And I think Jesus showed by example what it meant to get away, what it meant to have a time of prayer and fasting. If we are really going to experience the power of Christ's presence with us, there are times we do need to get alone with prayer and fasting. But we find that as a result of that preparation, then we can start to understand that we can conquer whatever fears we have in our lives. Because again, verse 24 says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves." Now this word "tossed" means to be tossed about with great force. I've got to believe it. The winds and the waves were shuddering this thing. And all they could do is hold on at times because the wind had become so boisterous it was throwing about. And I'm sure that as a result, it's like I'm sure they heard the wood that they made this ship out of. It was probably in anguish. You ever been in an old house as an example, and you walk around here, you step on a step and all of a sudden everything creaks around you? It's because the wood is in anguish. The wood has been holding up. You know, one of the things that when we got ready to start looking at building, getting the plans for building our building, I never thought about longevity of time. And what I mean by that is that the architect says, well, for what we're trying to look at doing to build this building or to lay it out for what the building needs to be, it needs to have built into it about a 75-year longevity. I never even thought about longevity of a building. You know, there's a building there, it lasts forever, right? No, he said that you have to look at it is that for about, you know, they try to build into the plans about 75 years. And so then I started to understand the why. Because the elements beating on the outside, the elements inside, they start getting tired. Because they're just made of this creation. And this creation is sinful. So even the wood tires, even the brick tires, even the mortar tires. Why do you have to have your mortar at times filled in on your, if you've got brick outside? Because it breaks down, it decays. Why do you have to put caulking around windows on the outside? Because the heat shrinks it up. Even though it says for X number of years it shouldn't crack, it shouldn't shrink, it still cracks and shrinks. Because of sin in the world. And so I look at this boat. We don't know how old this boat was, but I have to believe it was being tossed about. It had to be creaking. It had to be, and maybe they were starting to take some leaks and because of the shuddering of the wind and the waves up against this boat. And I'll tell you, that's If we don't realize God's presence in our lives, oftentimes that's exactly what's happening to us. Our bodies, our thoughts, our minds, our spiritual well-being feels like we are being tossed about on the sea of life. That's why we need to realize that Christ's presence is important, because He can conquer all of our fears, even if we are in the worst storm of our life. Matthew 5:45 says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So we need to understand that even as a child of God, we are going to experience storms, just like an unjust person would. So Jesus went to His disciples. But notice here again what He did. It says that He went unto a mountain, or verse 24 again, "But the ship was now in the midst, being tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear." You know why they cried out for fear? And I believe this. It's because what they saw, because what they heard next was the straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." I believe they probably thought they had died. Or they were just on the precipice of dying. How many times have you seen somebody walk on water? You know, one thing that's true for all of us as human beings, we cannot defy the law of gravity. Not a one of us. Now, granted, you can go up in a plane and you can let that plane dive down and you can float for a while, but I will tell you right now, you still haven't defied gravity, because that plane is going to still come back to ground. You're going to get out of it and you're going to walk on it. You and I cannot defy the law of gravity. But Jesus, who designed gravity, Jesus, who designed water, can walk on top of water and defy gravity all day long. I believe when you look at the, you know, they had been rowing, they had been probably bailing, they had been praying, they had been crying out, "God, save us!" Because they did not sense God's presence with them in this violent storm that's taking place. And then all of a sudden they see this apparition. They see maybe what they thought was a ghost. They see something they have never seen before. And I'll tell you, you and I, we had the same experience. They see Jesus walking nonchalant, just as a casual stroll in the park. They saw Jesus come walking across. Now, the storm was still violent. Everything was still being tossed about. But you know, none of it affected Jesus. None of it affected Jesus. He still walked upon them. So in their fear, they saw. And again, this was a teachable moment for them. They had just been faced. They had just been faced in the previous verses about how in the world are we going to feed 5,000 plus people? I mean, the people could have, they had been out there, they were hungry, they had been out there with Jesus, you know, listening to them preach all day. People didn't know what, in effect, if you read the other Gospels that talk about this feeding of the 5,000, and they were there, is that, how are we going to feed them? We don't have enough money to buy even ourselves really enough for food for the day, hardly. How are we going to feed all this mass of people? You know, if people get hungry in mass, some bad things can happen real quick. Out of hunger. Riot can take place. Just because, what are we to do? And so the disciples were, send them out to the surrounding villages, if you will, so that they can go and find something to eat. We can't do anything. And Jesus says, no, I want you to feed them. Really? How can we feed them? Well, go find out if they got any food among themselves. And they went out and they found a little boy that had a sack lunch, some fish and some bread in it. And they came back and said, Jesus, all we could find. He said, that's okay. Have them sit down. Get them in groups. Sit them down. And you know the story that Jesus prayed over the food, and all of a sudden there's all these baskets of food all over the place. says, now go feed them. They had just witnessed that before they got on this boat to start out, but they had forgotten about it. In their mind, the current, present storm is all they could think about. They didn't think about what Jesus had done. And so because they had forgotten about what had happened just earlier in that day, the day before, because they had forgotten about it, they could not see what was happening right then. Now, the reason I bring this up is oftentimes we look at a storm that we're in, we look at what's in front of us, we don't sense God's presence, we don't sense it, and we forget. We forget one of the most important things to do to help us in our own faith is to look at yesterday. What did God do for me yesterday? Did He sustain me? Did He take care of me? Was His presence there with me? What did He do 6 months ago? What did He do a year ago? We forget. We just, because all we can see is the storm in front of us. When we think about yesterday and what God brought us through yesterday, then it should help us to sense His presence for today in the storm that we're currently in. And he says as He came to them, and again, they cried out for fear. For what? They thought they saw a spirit. They thought they saw a ghost. And I have to believe they thought, we've died. If we're able to see a spirit, we must have died. And what did He say? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And verse 28 goes on to say, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. Now, there's a lot of ideas and thoughts about what Peter did. Some will argue, well, Peter was the only one who had faith enough to get out of the water and go. But I want to give you another thought about this. Very high likability that it wasn't about Peter having courage to get out in the water to go. If we're dying, I'm going to die and just be done with it. I'll be with Jesus. I think it was more of that. I think this all manifested itself out of the fear that they were in. And he saw Jesus walking on the water. And if we're going to die, well, I want to be as close as I can to Jesus. I don't necessarily look at this as saying that this was great courage. I think this was just a part of desperation. Personally, I think it's part of desperation that he was at. And it wasn't about the fact that the other people on the boat didn't have enough courage to get out. It's about the fact that they thought, again, our life is quickly over here. We're done. And again, remember this, the storm has not stopped. The storm is still blowing. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Scripture tells us that. Because in verse 30 it says, and what did Jesus do? He commanded him, come. And Peter was come down on the ship. He walked in the water to go to Jesus. We don't know how many steps he had to get out of the water or on the water, how close he was to Jesus. But notice it says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He got back in tune with what was the surroundings. You see, when we're looking at the presence of God and the power of God and the hope of being saved by God, in the sense, I'm not talking about salvation. Peter was a saved man. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about saving us and carrying us through the storm. The storm did not stop while Peter was on the water. The storm was still blowing. The water was still hitting him in the face. Now, he was able to walk. Again, we don't know how far. But my friends, one of the things that we need to look at is that oftentimes all we ever see is the storm. And when all you see is the storm around your life, you will never see the calm. You know, when you look at the hurricane chasers, and thank the Lord that we have all the technology we have today, how that they have these planes that can actually fly into the middle of those hurricanes. They call it the eye of the hurricane. They fly into the middle. And there, even though maybe at times a little rough, it's calm in the middle of the hurricane. Everything is swirling around, all around them. and around them. In a minute, that plane goes back into that swirl and back into that. They're just getting jerked all over the place again. But while they're sitting in the eye of that hurricane, there's peace. My friends, you and I need to start realizing, even in our storms that come into our lives, the presence of God is where the peace is. The presence of God. If we like to ride out on the edge of the storm, it's going to be a rough ride. But in the middle of it, when you start to sense and understand the presence of God, that He is with us, you'll take your eyes off of the wind. You'll take your eyes off of what's going on. Now remember this. The storm had not stopped. The storm is still there. But the closer you get with Jesus, the more peace and calm you have in your life. But you see, it all comes from preparation, praying, sensing the presence and power of God. Realizing that He is able to defy gravity. Realizing He is able to defy all of the elements. Realizing there's nothing that was knocking Jesus down. There was nothing that was pushing Him aside. That wind was having no effect on Him. The closer that we get to the Lord, I read something the other day that I thought was important, is a memory thing for myself. When you go and read in Scriptures, is that the closer that Jesus got to Calvary, first of all, when you look at Him from when He started His ministry, there were a lot of followers, right? 5,000 plus here in the earlier text. But the closer that Jesus got to Calvary, all of those that claimed, aspired to be His disciples, they started falling off. The closer He got, my hour is coming. Or He maybe taught us something that offended people and they left. And He asked, are you guys going to leave me too? The closer that He got to Calvary, the closer He got to the storm, the closer He got to that place where they were going to nail Him on the cross, His disciples continued to fall off. And in fact, when they came for Him, the soldiers came for Him at night, they all fled. Now we know that Peter kind of stayed in the dark. John was there. Peter stayed in the dark. And what did Jesus tell Peter? You're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Oh, I won't do that. But you know, every time they looked at Him, you're with Him, you were with Him, you were with Him. No, 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 3 times. Cock a little do. And what did He do? It says Jesus looked at Him. Didn't have to say a word to Him. Looked at Him. My point is, the closer we are to the storm, how closer we are to the Lord. How close are we to the Lord? Because many of His disciples, as the storm got close to His going to the cross of Calvary, they fled. You know what they fled was? They fled His presence. They fled His presence. Now, before we go beating them up, we're not any different than them. When the storms come in our life, we're often at the outskirts, and as a storm ramps up and ramps up and ramps up, instead of getting closer to the Lord, what are we? We're sitting back here and we stay in the storm. We stay in the storm. We forget about His presence. We forget about what it means to stay close to the Lord. Peter said, Lord, if it's truly You, bid me to come under the water, and Jesus commanded him, come. And as he got down, he started walking toward Jesus, but then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and now he's doing what? Sinking. What this tells us is that when we are in our own respective storms, again, there was preparation, there was sensing the presence of the Lord, but then we have to acknowledge Him in the storm. We have to realize that He is still the Lord of our lives, that He is still there to save us. He started to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. The Lord could have easily said, Peter, you took your eyes off of me. Sink. Or swim. It's up to you. But I look at this, and I praise God that he did what? He reached down and pulled him up. But you know, he also chided him. And it's okay to be chided. The Lord saves us, and then he says to us, is this, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I gave you the opportunity to defy gravity, and you threw it away. For that brief moment, and you threw it away because You looked at your circumstance more than you looked at me. You let the circumstance overwhelm you. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Because instead of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, we let the circumstance overcome us. And we're no different than Peter. We may be bold to get out of the boat and say, Lord, let me come to you. And He says, come on! Come to me! There's a sense of presence, of calm and peace when you're in my presence. But you choose the wind. You choose the sea. You choose the violence that's going on in all of that wind and sea. You choose the storm. Oh, ye of little faith. How many times have we been in a sinking situation because we did not trust that Jesus could sustain us in that storm we're going through? Every one of us. Every one of us have been there before. And by the way, and we'll be there again. We'll be there again. What makes us stronger in the Lord is this. I look back at the storm that I'm facing. I will tell you this. I'll be the first to admit I have a difficulty in looking at the storms of yesterday. I do. Because why? I'm caught up in the storm today. And so it takes me a moment to reflect back and say, well, wait a minute. The Lord brought me through this storm. Sometimes it's important that we remind one another. We remind one another, but remember, what you came through. You know why it's important for us to understand one another and to be around? Let me just throw this out for good measure. The Lord tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It says to be able to provoke one another to love and good works. But you know what is not often talked about in that provoking one another to love and good works? Is that as you get closer to the people in our congregation, you start to learn a little bit more about them. As they feel they can open up to you and tell you of the things they're going through, you start to get a sense of them. You see their faith, you see the storms they've been through. And when they get into another storm, what we can do, instead of kicking them and saying, okay, what did you do today to deserve it? Is to say, but wait a minute, brother. Wait a minute, sister. You know, a while back, you went through this storm over here. And we all saw what God was doing through your life. We were praying for you. And we saw your steadfastness. We saw how that God delivered you out of that. And if He delivered you out of that, why wouldn't He deliver you out of this storm you're in right now? Instead of condemning them for being in the storm, is that we reassure them of what God does and has done for them. And sometimes we need to do that for one another. We need to be there to remind them. That's why the Lord says, He says, there are times that you, I know the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, is that the Spirit will pray on our behalf. But you know what? Our brothers and sisters in the Lord can pray on our behalf as well. Because they understand where you've been, what you've come through, that you made it through, that the Lord, you sensed His presence. You know, one of the things I don't see here is that when they got back into the boat, I don't see that the other disciples said, Peter, you were a fool for getting out there. I don't see that written here. I don't see that they brought to Him a statement, because you see, they all were fearing for their lives. They all were fearing for their lives. Peter just happened to be the one that says, can I get out of the boat and come to you, Jesus? But they were all fearing for their lives. I truly believe they all thought they had been rowing, they had been tossed about, they had been jerked all over that sea during that night, and as a result, they thought they were going to die. Every one of them did. But Jesus showed up and showed that He's there, and He said, and then it says, notice in verse 32, that His presence is able to conquer all of our storms and all the things about nature about us. It says that when they were coming to the ship, and not until they were in the ship, that says the wind ceased. Jesus didn't still the wind until He physically got in the ship. And then the wind ceased. Then the wind ceased. He showed that He still had power over nature. That He still, He had defied gravity. He was walking on the water. He wasn't worried about sinking. You see, if you're going to latch yourself onto somebody, latch it onto Jesus. Because you know He can defy the elements. You know that He can defy. Because why? He is the Creator of all things. And if one day He wants to walk on top of water, He's going to do it. If He wants to float in a cloud going back up into heaven, He's going to do it. And if He's going to float in a cloud coming back from heaven, He's going to do it. Because He is the Creator of all the universe. If you're going to latch yourself onto someone to draw strength from, draw strength from the One that created everything. Even you, in your mother's womb. The wind ceased. And then it says this, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." You know, one of the things is we come out of a storm. We ought to be praising, first of all, God in the storm. But you know, when you come out of that storm and you start to realize that God, it was a teachable moment for us while we were in the storm. His presence was there. And we work through this, I'll call it the recipe. His presence is assured by our personal preparation. That's why He says, don't wait until the storm to pray. Pray every day. Pray without ceasing. His presence then conquers our fear, because when we have the storms that come into our life, it will, because we know about Him, we believe in Him, His presence conquers our fear. And then what does it do as a result? Even though we're still in the storm, His presence stirs the hope that we have in Him that we are going to come out of this storm. His presence can conquer nature. And when I say nature, it's all the elements. It could be, the nature could be the things we see out here, the trees, the wind, the waves, all this stuff. But it also could be this. It could be from nature, it could be other human beings. It could be jobs. It could be marriages. It could be all, you put a name on it. He can conquer all of nature. But at the end of the time of that point where we come out of that storm, we ought to be on our knees praising Him for bringing us through it. You know, He does not say in His Word that I will always stop a storm, but He tells us He will be with us in every storm. In every storm of life. Sometimes He stills it, but sometimes He said, I'm bringing you through it. And for this reason, He wants us to become so personally dependent upon Him, and not in dependency from the perspective is that, well, Lord, I'm just standing here and I depend on You to give me my food, my shelter, and clothes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we know that we have no power outside of Him. We know we have no security outside of Him. We know we can't walk daily without Him. But with Him, we are safe. With Him we can walk. He said, well, how can I be safe if, Peter and the rest of them, they thought they were going to die, and He could have taken them. You know what? Even if they died on that boat that day, they were still with Him. They would have been with Him for all of eternity. You see, as a child of God, I can definitively state that. I don't have to worry about where I'm going, because I know that the very moment I pass, I know that I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. I will be able to physically, or I should say, with my own eyes, I'll say it this way. With my eyes, what I cannot do here, physically, I cannot see Him. Can I see Him, though, while I am here? And the answer is yes. As I said earlier, I can see Him in His Word. The Spirit of God reveals to me that He is present. You remind me of His presence. Because in many ways, whether you like to realize it or not, or whether you've ever thought about it, as a child of God, you are Christ living. And what I mean by that is that if Christ is living within you, and you're walking in this world, you're a reminder to me of Christ's presence. He says, ye are to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are His face here on earth. The Scripture says that Jesus had prophets, had His Word that exposed who He is. In fact, you read in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God who in sundry times, meaning in times past, brought His Word, His message, either in visions, dreams, vocally, but not in seeing, And then it says in Hebrews chapter 1 that then Jesus was manifested to show us that He is real. The past showed us of His coming. Then He showed up, manifested Himself, showed us that He is the Son of God. And then He died on the cross, went back to heaven. But it says the Spirit of God indwells us. And you and I are representatives of Christ because He lives within you. So you remind me of Him. And you know, one of the things that I'm reminded of is that you as a child of God, me as a child of God, when I die, I'm going to see you again. When you die, you're going to see me again. If you're a child of God, I can say, we will meet again. We will meet again. We will meet again. But you know who we are going to meet? We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. Presence of Jesus for all of eternity. The question I have this morning, do you know Jesus? Because you see, if you don't know Jesus as a Savior, I'll never see you again if you die. I'll never see you again. You'll never see me again. You're going to be all alone. You will not be in the presence of the Lord. But with Jesus, you will be with us in a place called heaven. Be with Him for all of eternity. And while we're here, though we go through our storms of life, He is going to be here. And how do I know that He's here? It's because you're here praying for me. I'm here praying for you. But we know the Spirit of God is with us, and He's praying for us as well. Let us take this in hope and realize His power. That if He can walk on water, He can tamper down every storm that comes in your life. But you have to be prepared to go through that storm. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're in need of salvation. Maybe you're in need of just trusting in Him in your life. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, Lord, I thank You for what Your Word has taught us. Thank You for the strength that we can draw from your Word. Lord, You know the heart of each individual that's here. Lord, I pray that as You've spoken to our hearts, as You've shown us what we need to do, I pray, Lord, that we will act upon it now in obedience. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.